Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulge discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. And they're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drop, Drop Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Please do go over there, visit it, say hello. There's a tip jar there if you're feeling generous. Go to the donate section of that website and it'll tell you how you can throw some shekels in the tip jar thing. Anna Hummel is joining me on the phone this week, or FaceTime, because I might have COVID-19, and I'm not even kidding. Some people tested positive at work, and I don't have any symptoms or anything, but two of the people that have it are asymptomatic. So I went and got tested just to be safe. I'm awaiting those results, and you'll find out, I guess, next week. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. You can follow me on social at Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. This podcast is brought to you by NTT Fitness. Yes, we're probably going to be back under quarantine orders here pretty soon because cases are blowing up here of the coronavirus pandemic. Everybody's getting sick. So you might as well get food just delivered to your door and make it healthy food so you don't make the same mistake twice where you're just eating garbage and gaining weight. You don't need to do it. Just get NTT Fitness and NTT Nutrition. If you put in code LEVELUP15 at checkout over there at nttfitness.com, you can get a 15% off your first order, LEVELUP15. So go over there, check that out, enjoy, and don't be a pig. All right, so without further ado, we're going to get right into Anna because she's patiently waiting, and I thank her for doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me from the semi-autonomous, Capitol Hill zone in Seattle, Washington, Chaz, Anna Hummel is on the line.
Hello.
Anna, how is Seattle?
Okay?
Huh?
Seattle's not doing well. Not well at all.
Not good. No, you're not. Yeah. You're not in Seattle. You're joining me on the phone. On the Bluetooth line because I might have COVID-19, and in order to protect you, you are not in my home studio this week.
Even, even though I have asked you multiple times to just cough in my mouth so I can get this over with, it seems like you won't do that. You can't do a friend a favor. That hurts my feelings.
No, I figure, you know, it might benefit you, but it could also kill you. So those are the two signs. So
at this point, I feel like I'm willing to try anything. I think to get it would actually be, it would cause me less anxiety than to try to prevent getting it. Does that make sense? Because you spend so much energy trying to avoid it that I feel like if you just get it, then hopefully you can build up some immunity and you will be fine in the future. But as we know, we all know nothing, right? So
yes.
It seems like every time we think we know something in the direction of COVID, turns out it's actually the opposite. So everybody was all excited about the antibodies and, you know, donating plasma, but it does seem to be the fact that it could offer no immunity or maybe very little because the virus is mutating in the same way that we have to get a flu shot every year. It's a different beast and it transforms. So I really have no idea what the future holds. But nevertheless, if you do have it, I will be coming over and asking you to cough in my face.
Okay, fair enough. I will do that. Did you see that I was right again this week about our friend Dr. Anthony Fauci? He did an interview with, some idiot. And remember I talked about the masks. And of course, obviously, they're going to be beneficial to you. And I want to see if you can hear this. We're gonna learn by doing here. This is
okay.
Dr. Fauci talking about the masks.
Getting back to your first question, which was, what about a month or so or two or three ago when people were saying you don't really need to wear a mask? Well, the reason for that is that we were concerned, the public health community, and many people were saying this, were concerned that it was at a time when personal protective equipment, including the N95 masks, and the surgical masks were in very short supply. And we wanted to make sure that the people, namely the healthcare workers, who were brave enough to put themselves in harm's way to take care of people who you know were infected with the coronavirus and the danger of them getting infected, we did not want them to be without the equipment that they needed.
Did you hear that?
I did, loud and clear.
Awesome.
I mean, I feel like it's something we all know or knew, but I'm surprised that he actually admitted it out loud.
And
because obviously, if it's offering those people protection, why would it not offer us protection? That makes no sense at all.
Right. This is just basic. If you're in a hospital setting, if you're in a doctor's office and you say, oh, I got the flu or whatever, they usually come in with a mask. And this mm-hmm. is a normal coronavirus. My mother has told me, have you seen the sides of the Lysol can? It says it kills the coronavirus. And she thinks that that means the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which I guess technically it does mean mm-hmm. that. But she meant that it's a conspiracy that the coronavirus has been around for a long time. And this is, I suppose, given to the public intentionally in order for some sort of new world order.
Oh, that's where the conspiracy. Yeah, that's where the conspiracy comes in. Listen, at this point, she could be right. I don't know. I feel like everything is kind of up for grabs right now. So I know I used to be one that would dismiss conspiracy theories all the time because I was like, that's crazy. Why would the government lie to us? But I have to tell you, Will, I have to admit that anything is fair game and any point that is on the table could in fact be true with more investigation. So we all shall see.
I am totally back on the originally I'd said that I think this is something that was released from a lab that they didn't want people. They didn't want it to get out. It was just accidentally released. And my theory was is that it was something that was not man-made but tinkered with in order to use as a bioweapon because it was at a weapons lab and it accidentally got out. And then they were like, uh-oh, this got out. Maybe we could use this to our advantage now. And you mm-hmm. see it with things like there's a trade war going on right now, a cold war with the United mm-hmm. States, and China is having problems with a lot of the world. So I think
should we then commend China for making a bad situation, turning it like a silver lining, if you will. You know what I mean? Like this is a bad thing that's happening, but you know what? We're gonna turn it into a positive. We're gonna flip it on its head. It's actually a good thing now.
For them, Yeah, I suppose it's a good thing for them. Wuhan is apparently back to normal now. Back to normal, everybody's still going around wearing masks and going to the market and enjoying themselves. So good for them. I'm very happy. And, you know, this is obviously not the people, but the Chinese government that we're worried about. And remember we had talked to, I don't even want to say his name because I don't want to get him in trouble because this is kind of conspiracy-ish. We talked to a doctor that we both know, and he had said that a colleague of his thought that this it had some similarities or something of having to do with HIV, and that he thought that it was potentially tinkered with. And we went, oh, yeah, of course. Obviously, duh. But I don't know if anything has come from that. You haven't talked to that guy, have you, at all?
I think he did reach out to me when he heard that a few people that you could currently work with, I used to work with, had coronavirus. So he was kind of just checking in. I don't think at the time that he knew I was fired, and I felt it was inappropriate to tell him I don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
So I just said, thank you for checking in. I'm fine. How are you doing? It was kind of one of those, but that is the last that I have heard from him.
Okay, because I am back on my initial thought, and as I was right with the masks and many things, I think that this was an escaped pathogen that was tinkered with, not man-made, but tinkered with,
right.
And it seems to decimate a certain population. So people that perhaps not doing well in nature as it is, not contributing to society, such as boomers, old people, people who are sick with stuff, people with diabetes. They shouldn't be alive. It's a modern marvel that people with diabetes are alive, that we're able to produce insulin for them. But if we weren't able to do that, they would be dead. That seems to be a target of this disease.
You think this is just like an aggressive form of natural selection? I mean, it's kind of artificial man-made, right?
Man-made natural selection, yes.
Right. So in most cases, technology and medicine would keep these people alive, but this virus is taking it back a notch, and it's allowing people that otherwise would be dead to just die already. Is that what you're suggesting?
I think yes. Basically, and we've talked about the Chinese don't value life. I'm sorry, and this is, I know this can get you in trouble. Now you say anything, you get in trouble, but they don't have the same sort of lust for life that America and the West has in general. So, for example, the thing that I've seen many videos out of China at these wet markets that would make anybody nauseous.
And they're back in business, by the way.
I want
people to know that they're back in business. The only change is that you can't take pictures in front of them. There's security guards that you will get in trouble if anybody takes a picture in front of the wet market. But they're back in business, baby.
Yeah, and the thing that shocked me the most was they had these keychains that they sold, and it had little baby turtles encased in some sort of plastic shell. And then they would kind of, oh, cool, I got a little turtle in here. And then it would die, and then they go and throw it in the river, and then that was it. It was just such a not that turtle. I don't really respect the lives of turtles either. I think they're pretty much vegetables. I mean, any animal, fish, anything that lives in the water is basically useless.
Wilkins is a biologist, for those that don't know.
Yeah,
I wanted the people to know. Okay.
I just don't think that they're very low. They're just a few steps above a mineral or a vegetable. Not much, but just a little bit. But it's just needless cruelty, you know?
Right.
Like, why would you do that to anything?
I can jump on board. Can we take this in a slightly different direction? I know you
want to... Wait, before you do, yes. Okay. But I just want to say that I am back on the bandwagon that this was this SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus. It was made potentially to thin their herd because they do have a lot. They have a huge population, and maybe they would be like, listen... Sorry, Grandma, you're too much to bear now, you're a burden. Mm-hmm. And then they would maybe unleash this virus on their own population and kind of thin it out and get the strong up to the top again. And I think it got out, and it's affected the world, and they're going to get away with it, though, 100%. Our media and their media, Google, are all helping them censor all this information. But it's on these websites. It's everywhere. I saw it on that Zero Hedge website, which is now... Google has demonetized and censored. Well, so you can find it up, but they've demonetized them so they can't run ads anymore. So this was there immediately. And then these websites get called weirdo conspiracy sites, but they tend to be right a lot. But anyway, yes. Yeah. But we can leave it from there. But anyway, yes, this yeah. Anyway.
I do want to shift gears, and it kind of relates to something you were talking about when we opened up conversation. You were talking about a situation that you had predicted and that you were correct. And I would also like to offer that same sort of thing to myself now, because I want the people to know, Will, that I think I was fired last week for predicting the future.
Yeah.
I know we talked about this last week with, sorry, the one put his paw on it. I'm like sitting against the door and it like touched my butt and freaked me out. I apologize. So last week, for those that maybe missed it, I was fired from the company I used to work for a series of tweets that they deemed inappropriate. No one is suggesting that they were wrong. Like I said before, I took full accountability for what I said, and I totally and completely understand the reason why I was fired. But, and this is a big but here, I did make a joke about Ben and Jerry's made statement that they were going to dismantle white supremacy. For those that are new to Planet Earth, Ben and Jerry sells ice cream. Wasn't quite sure how they were going to do that. I made a tweet saying that I demand they put out a new flavor, dismantling white supremacy. It was called like FU, police, pig, kill whitey, something along those lines. And then I described the flavor, and Will, Ben and Jerry's yesterday released a new flavor called Justice Remixed. And I'm going to read this to you, and it is eerily similar to what I said it was going to be. So first, can I just backtrack here for just a second? I want to read what I said the flavor was. I said it was going to be a vanilla-free mocha ice cream with chocolate chips, caramel swirl, brownie bites, and a hint of cinnamon. This new flavor called Justice Remix is cinnamon and chocolate ice cream with gobs of cinnamon bun dough and spicy fudge brownies. So I got the cinnamon and the brownies and the fact that there was a new flavor dedicated to dismantling white supremacy. I don't see any vanilla in here. I don't see any white chocolate in here. It seems to be all flavors of color. So I just want to say that I think I was fired for predicting the future, that I too was correct, and I was fired. I don't want to say unjustly, very much justly, but I do want to say that was pretty crazy that I predicted that was going to happen, and in fact it did. And what's so bizarre, and you and I talk about this a lot, is it seems that comedy usually imitates life. Like, that's usually the goal. And it seems like it's almost working in the opposite direction. Like, we make jokes about how insane would it be if X happened, and then X usually happens because we live in Wacky Town.
Mm-hmm.
It's so insane. Like, you know, we'll say, like, what are they going to do? Like, cancel a cartoon series about dogs that are policemen? Ha, ha, ha. And then, lo and behold, like Paw Patrol, which I had to look up what it was, is like some Canadian cartoon with like little dogs that are animated dogs that are police dogs. And the show gets canned because it's like a positive stereotype of police people, which is just, it's absolutely mind-blowing, absolutely insane that it really is working in the opposite direction, that we're making jokes and predictions about the future and that they are coming to fruition. And that's a scary place to be.
Well, once you see the Matrix, you could start to see its code kind of everywhere.
Right.
And I made a prediction this week that I tweeted, and I was a little nervous because I'm afraid to tweet anything, which you can follow me over there at @home_made_man and on a Hummel Radio. So the tweet that I put out was that we are weeks away, maybe a few months, but I'm going to say weeks, of getting to the point where the United States Constitution was written by people who had owned slaves, and ergo, it needs to be banned and gotten rid of and replaced with something new. And you see this because it started with the Confederate statues last week, and has moved this week into just founding father type of people. So I don't really have any sort of connection with the Confederate statues or anything. I can understand that point of view, like, you know, these people glorified I guess slavery, which is one part of what they did. Yes, that's true. They also did a bunch of other stuff. I know Jefferson Davis was like the Treasury Secretary or something. So it's not like that's all he did, but it becomes associated with the South is slavery. And you go, okay, well, I guess I can understand that. We could put him into a museum. Although I don't see any point that they would be like, okay, we'll use tax dollars to build a Confederate museum. That's not going to happen. So the statues are just going to go. And you go, all right, well, fine. If that,
how do you, can I ask how you personally feel about that? Are you like, I feel pretty apathetic to it. Like, I'm not like they must come down, but I completely understand why people want to see them go. My only issue is, and I'm sure with a lot of people, and usually the argument is, well, if these ones go, then it's like, then are we going to just start tearing everything down? Are we going to destroy Mount Rushmore because Jefferson's face is on it and he owns slaves? He's on Mount Rushmore, right? Am I right? I can't remember.
Roosevelt, Lincoln, Washington. Is it Jefferson? It might be Jefferson, yeah.
Okay, guy? I think so.
Yeah. Washington is getting, and that's exactly what's happening, is it becomes a slippery slope. I don't, like I said, I have no feeling towards the Confederate flag or these statues or anything. They don't, I never really thought about them ever. So I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I don't really care. When people, I don't like when people tell me I can't do something and this thing is banned. Like Sid Vicious wore a swastika t-shirt a lot, but he was a punk rocker anarchist. He wasn't a Nazi. It was a shock type value type thing. And I know for a fact, because I've talked to people who have said the talked about the Confederate flag to them and what it means. It's a heritage, not hate type thing. And that argument is poo-pooed whenever you hear it. But I don't think that they're like not telling the truth about that. I believe that is their point of view. However, other people find it offensive. So,
yeah, it's just open to interpretation. Like, you could ask a black person and they say, well, this represents hate to me. And then you ask a person from the South and this represents heritage to me. You know, if you want to fly it on the back of your four-wheeler or your truck or whatever, I mean, maybe it looks bad, it's bad imagery, but you should be able to do that. It's your vehicle or your house or wherever you want to fly it. In terms of these public statues, like, I can imagine taking them down and then putting them in a museum somewhere, not so much to glorify the South or the Confederacy, but it is a part of our history.
It is a part of history. Yes.
You have to understand that there's museums dedicated to the Holocaust and World War II and World War I and internment camps and things like that. Things that are, part of like a dirty part of our history, but nevertheless, it's part of our history. So is it, should we eradicate them? I don't know. Should it be maybe in a place where you have to actively go and see them? I can see that. I can understand that, where it's like, let's build a museum that not so much like celebrates the Civil War, or the Confederacy, but it's just a reminder of that part of our history. So you have to actually actively go there if you want to see it, instead of just going to a public square and then seeing a statue of someone who was an advocate for slavery or something like that. Like I could see that happening.
Yeah.
As of right now, the statues that I see coming down look completely defaced, like, and destroyed and, you know, vandalized. So I don't think you can do much with them.
You can clean those up. I mean, spray paint comes off a little acetone and you can clean them up just fine. I'm okay with that and whatever. But then it starts to get into, it becomes a slippery slope where we are in a big overcorrection phase now that I think some bad actors are using this as a political type of ploy in order to shape the world as they would like to see it. So we're seeing a lot of just like, so now it's switched from Confederate statues, which I'm going, okay, whatever, to founding fathers. And I go,
who also own slaves. Like,
right, and that's it. So, and it becomes like, if you had that scarlet letter on you, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They also, you know, invented the Constitution, which I haven't found a better, the Bill of Rights, these things. These are good things that we should have, and people are scrambling from all over the world to get to America because we have these things, or we did. It's being dismantled, you know, day by day, and has been for probably almost 100 years, but the concept of it is good, and I know it didn't apply to everybody when it was written, But now it does. Not. Now it does.
Right. There's basic... that's why you have right, and that's why you have amendments to the Constitution. You know, women were able to vote. Blacks were able to vote. Slavery was abolished. Things like that. So it certainly wasn't perfect. Like you said, I think it's one of the best documents, scripts that was written in terms of being equal and fair. Even though it seems kind of bizarre because at the time things were not equal and fair. And like you were saying, it seems like we are in an overcorrection stage right now, but we're still missing the mark. You know, I still don't think that all of this discussion, all of the things we're talking about, race and white privilege and white guilt and things like that, this is certain. And people seem to get these two ideas conflated, but they are very different. It is not about equality. It is about getting even. You know, it is really disgusting to me when I see – you know, people demanding, you know, white and black people, like demanding white people get on their knees and beg for forgiveness when many, if not most of those white people have done not a single racist thing in their life. Why are they apologizing? Because of the color of their skin? That's exactly the opposite of what Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about. You know, you shouldn't be judged by the color of your skin, but by the content of your character. And it seems like we're completely missing that mark. And we're telling people that they have to be sorry for things that they didn't do just by virtue of what they look like.
Yeah.
And I think that is a scary, scary road that we're going down. And it's only going in one direction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're demanding that white people apologize for things that they didn't do that their ancestors did. But then it's like, you know, if you're a person of color, it seems like, you know, obviously that doesn't apply to you. Nobody would ask or tell someone, hey, I need you to apologize for this black criminal because you're black and you should apologize on behalf of your blackness. Like, that would be ludicrous if someone demanded that. But literally that same concept is being applied across the aisle. And again, it's not about equality. It's about getting even. And people are so wrapped up with what they think sounds politically correct and makes them look like a good person that they really aren't analyzing anything beyond that. It looks nice. Of course I'm for black rights. Who is it? Of course, but you shouldn't have to say, like, I consider myself to be, a humanist, right? Like, I'm for all rights. I don't feel like I need to say I'm for gay rights and women's rights and black rights and brown rights. And it's just, yes, everybody should have equal rights, period, and discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it gets into that realm of original sin, which I'm not really a religious person because I don't like the concept of original sin. And it seems like it's kind of the same thing with this. Like, if you are
with whiteness.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. Like, this is the way I was born. I feel like, like a gay kid in the 70s. Like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I like dudes, you know, it's just like, and I don't know. And I'm not a religious man for that reason, so I don't really buy into that thing. And it's funny seeing these celebrities and people that we know who dance with their boobies out on TikTok telling people to get educated and educate themselves, which generally means listen to the people I want you to listen to and vote the way I want you to. And if you don't, you're going to face some sort of shaming and cultural repercussions from this. You'll be shunned from. I was talking to one of these artist kids, or men, I guess he's probably my age, that I used to kind of be cool, like in St. Pete, you know. I was somebody who was like doing stuff, and I was part of the art scene and all that, and I just get the vibe that I'm not that guy anymore. And I think it's because it's perceived that I am a certain way or think a certain way, which couldn't be more untrue, but they're not curious enough to ask any questions about this stuff.
Of course
not. It's just like, no, you don't hold it. So you can hold 7 of the 8 values, but if you go, yeah, I'm not so sure about this one, it doesn't, you're out now. You have to be completely binary and completely on board with them. And if you're not with me, you're against me. And I haven't felt any like sort of fallout. You know, I haven't been canceled as of yet or anything, but who knows?
It's fun. It's a good time.
Yeah, I dread it. It's like walking on eggshells. It was funny too because you had posted the I saw your post about the ice cream thing, and my friend Kayer and your friend Kayer screenshotted it and sent it to me. And I go, she's finally free now. She's free to do what she wants. She can say whatever she wants. It's got to be.
It's very liberating.
Yeah, I bet. And it's been, you know, I'm certainly afraid to say anything. And since this whole thing has started with, you know, the protests, and I just go, you know what? I'm just going to talk about the Buccaneers in my tweets. And I did
it's
say
sad. It's sad, you know,
like yeah.
that makes me sad to hear you. And I feel the same way when it comes to certain topics where you just feel defeated. Like you can't even be open and honest about the things that you really think and feel and call people out and like even ask questions. Like I feel like the best way to not even diffuse, but kind of expose like a bad idea is not to attack people, because everybody's going to get on the defensive if you start attacking them either personally or their ideas, which is personal in and of itself. But if you just start asking questions, oftentimes you can see the logical inconsistencies. They tend to show their head pretty quickly, but that is probably the best way, is to just start asking questions and not come from an aggressive, offensive place, because you're obviously going to put everybody else on the defense.
Keeping it interrogative is the best way if you ever do have to talk with lunatics. It's just been, well, didn't that, like, and you just do kind of like that,
very
and then you say, and then that's the way, and they'll, you know, it's not pleasant either way, but it was funny. No. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was sending me these tweets of Chris D'Elia, that comedian. He's in some hot water about.
Right, I heard.
I guess he lured underage girls, allegedly. Allegedly, I don't know. And Johnny and I were talking about this too. Like, it's so easy to just go off of this hearsay and gossip. And I think as men, or I'm a man, you are a lady. But as a man, whenever you hear a woman go, I was taken advantage of, you go, okay, let's go kill this guy. That's kind of in your, I don't know, it's in your DNA to be like, screw this guy. But then you go, how do you know she's telling the truth and not making this up? Is there any proof? And they go, oh yeah, she's got some screenshots. And I go, yeah, you know, you can kind of make screenshots. There's apps for that, literally.
Sure,
and we're at the point now where we
don't
even trust video at this point, and rightfully so a lot of the times, because there's deepfakes. There's all this other stuff. So we don't know. We've never had been privy to more information than we have right now, and we're so incurious. And even if you look it up, you might be getting wrong information. But
you don't know.
Yeah, and just this culture of I don't want to go through the court system. I want to go through the kangaroo court system and have somebody just removed that way. I don't want to go to the cops, so I think I'll rather just put it on Twitter and have the mob.
Have the people feast on that person.
And it's literally getting the stakes and the pitchforks, you know, digitally and going after people. And I saw it. This freaking girl has always been very nice to me whenever I see her. She works at one of the local bars and everything. But I guess she had a problem with one of these other bartenders at another place because he had expressed his opinion on Facebook that he thought the police-involved shooting in Atlanta was justified.
And it was.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, I've already been canceled, so I can say I definitely think that the police shooting in Atlanta was justified. And did you hear, I know we'll go back to that point, but did you hear that they were trying to, I think this is not the case anymore, but they were seeking the death penalty for this guy?
Wow. No, I didn't hear that.
I mean, that's been,
wild.
I guess, debunked now by the DA, but I did definitely hear that was, they were begun to charge him with capital murder, and that was on the table in terms of, death penalty, so.
11, I think it was 11 felony charges and murder being the biggest one.
Back to the bartender.
Yes.
Gate.
So this person, so that they expressed that opinion that he thought it, that in his opinion that it was. Now, I don't know why you would bother expressing that opinion on Facebook, but a lot of people do. They argue with people.
Right.
They love the fight. It's not a good forum for any sort of debate or opinion or it's just,
no one's changing their mind on Facebook
or
Twitter for that matter.
But
you
a lot of people just like to fight. So they want to just fight with somebody. So they do that. So he expressed this pretty benign opinion that I'm sure a lot of the country shares, and she was berating him about how, nope, you're wrong, and this was a murder. And so he goes, all right, bitch, whatever, and blocks her. Like, leave me alone. And and then she took a screenshot of, he didn't even say bitch, those are my words, but he just said, okay, whatever, I'm blocking you, I'm done with you. And she had put on her Facebook that this guy blocked me and he does not have the appropriate opinion, inciting a mob against this guy.
Sure.
And I cannot stand. And same thing with the, like, the girl, if you're a young girl that's being groomed by a predator, go to your parents, number one, and then the parents need to go to the cops. Like, I understand that our court system, that's not a perfect system either. But not just inciting a mob on a person who may potentially be innocent, that's worse. I think that's objectively a worse system, ruining their lives, getting their bank accounts taken potentially. I mean, there's so much crap that's...
over something that may be a lie, you know?
Right.
Or just a difference of opinion. This doesn't even make that person a bad person.
Yeah. But there's just such an overcorrection, and I think... white people get caught into this too, where they're told that they need to call this out and be an ally. So it's like just taking that stance always. It doesn't matter really what the facts are of the issue. The problem with the shooting in Atlanta is that it was cops, and that's the problem. Cops are killing.
It was white cops, black suspects.
Right.
That's literally the deadly combination.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't see anybody, especially a white cop, who wants to be a white cop these days at all. Nope. I know I sure wouldn't.
Nope.
I know cops are resigning left and right across the country. And to be honest with you, I do not blame them. People are calling for them to be defunded. You know, people are like spitting on them, throwing milkshakes at them. You know, they can't even, some of them are getting poisoned. They're afraid that they're going to consume some, you know, cleaner if they go out to eat and they're in uniform. Like, it really, really is absolutely disgusting, you know, and people are being asked not to be judged by their skin color, yet we're judging everybody in blue and painting them with a broad brush and saying like, oh, all these people are horrific monsters, when the vast majority of them are trying to protect us. You know, I mean, when everybody's running the other direction, cops run into the fire. That is their job. Are there, you know, a-hole cops? Absolutely, of course. Just like there's a-hole everything, fill in the blank, there's a-hole that too. But just to paint everybody with such a broad brush and to be so disrespectful, not only disrespectful, but like, you know, you're trying to hurt the cops. I saw a young girl in Tampa was trying, and she was caught on video, like she was trying to like prod one of the police officers with like a large umbrella, like the pointy end of an umbrella, and she gets tackled and tear gassed, and then she becomes the victim. And and then her mother is defending her. I mean, to me, a lot of these kids, I feel like, and a lot of them are children, you know, 18, 19 years old. We also have to remember they've been locked up for like 2-3 months. You know, they haven't seen their friends and stuff. They haven't been at school. They've had nothing to do and nobody to see. And now they're given the green light and they're applauded by everybody, including a lot of healthcare workers that are like, yes, great job protesting. When a mere 2 weeks before, you know, you weren't allowed to gather in groups more than 10. Otherwise, you were going to kill you were a grandma killer. But now you're a hero and a martyr. So it really, really makes no sense. And I know you said this before, and it's a really good point. But, like, it seems like this whole stance on the virus is, like the virus is woke. You know, like, I think you sent me a screenshot of somewhere, I don't know if it's local news or otherwise, but it was like, you shouldn't gather in groups of more than 12. Unless you're at a protest, in which case it's okay if you're with 100 people. What? Like, that makes no sense. Like,
yeah, and it's like, I don't understand. It's just so obvious and right in front of your face. I don't know how anybody just looks at that and goes, no, like gathering in crowds for it's good. Because they said, well, this is more important than the virus. But the virus is...
racism.
Right. So I don't get that whole thing. That just seems insane. And you have, you know, outbreaks now of the virus in the past few weeks, and they're blaming it on DeSantis. He opened too early, and maybe I'm sure some of the cases are because of that, because these bars are open, and I saw a picture of a very crowded Ringside Cafe that was nobody's wearing masks, everybody's drinking, having a good time. About half boomers, half millennials in this place. And you go, yeah, I'm sure that that leads to more cases, for sure. But you also have groups of hundreds of people gathering in New York. Yeah, a million. I mean, well, maybe not a million, but an S ton of people. Philadelphia, the streets were literally packed together. And I know in New York, for example, when they're doing the contact tracing, they are not asking people if they were at a protest. They're asking
they don't even mention it. You know, they're saying, like, even to be honest with you, I mean, for those that are listening out of state, we are in Florida. Even Governor DeSantis said, oh, you know, we're actually, what did he say, testing a lot of people in rural areas. That's why the numbers are going up. Even he was reticent to say, guys, it's the freaking protests that have been going on for the last 3-4 weeks now. That is obviously a cause of a lot of the spike and a lot of the reason why people are getting sick. But nobody wants to say that, even though it seems to be obvious. Because if you say that, then I guess somehow you're racist, or you're blaming people protesting. It's not even that you're blaming, but you're explaining. Well, you know, people often conflate those two things. I'm not blaming anybody, but I am explaining this is why it's happening.
Yeah, and I know, well, DeSantis got called, he was in trouble because he said that a lot of these people that are testing positive are workers, migrant workers on the farms, which tend to be Latin American or from South America, Central America, Mexico. So then he kind of got, oh, he's blaming Spanish people for the outbreak. And you go, it's just what the numbers are, okay? Like, this is the thing. And politics is bled into science at this point. And it's like, so you can't trust it. You know, the CDC and the government is mad because we're not wearing masks like we should. You go, yeah, you guys told us, not only said it doesn't work, but discouraged it for a long period of time. And I knew why, because they wanted to keep them for the healthcare workers. I get that. But maybe you should have said that. Like, listen, you can make a mask. And they didn't have to sell these masks. I know Amazon kept them for healthcare workers and everything, so you couldn't even buy them online. Don't lie to us and then expect us to, like, get frustrated with us down the line. You lied about the freaking masks. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you got people who are going, oh, I see this article from 3 months ago. He said not to wear a mask. Yeah, well, that was a lie. We should be wearing masks now, and we know that, and now we are. But I don't know. It's just you can't – you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
You can't say anything. And like you said, even science is politicized. You know, whether it's global warming or – I'm trying to think of another example here. That one's dealing with –
well, the contact tracing in New York, where they're saying, we're not going to count if you went to protest or not. That is vital information to have. It's true, you need to know this in order to stop, you know, the spread in the future. And I know that – and they know, and everybody knows this. So Cuomo came out and said, I'd really discourage any more protests right now. And I think they were afraid that they were going to burn things to the ground. And they did in a lot of cases. So they wanted to appease them. And they're like, well, we're going to have a spike in cases. But now they're like, oh, New York's doing great now. But they're not. Nobody's doing great. No. I mean, there's just an outbreak. And like I said, here in Florida, which we're worried about, I'm sure it does have to do with some of the bars being open. I mean, obviously that would be the case. And it was never to have zero cases. Like, this is something we're going to have to deal with. It's to keep our medical system intact.
Right, the healthcare system.
So
yeah, people seem to forget that it's not about eradicating and getting to zero cases. It's about keeping those, you know, beds in the ICU as open as possible. And every day, like, I'm saying in quotes, learning new things, but really we're learning nothing, because it just seems like the next thing we learn is negating the last thing that we learned. So it really makes no sense, but it seems to be the case. And we now know a few people personally that have coronavirus. And I would say, I mean, I haven't really, all I've heard was that are they all asymptomatic? Cause I haven't seen anyone saying, like, oh, I feel horrible, I'm so sick. Like, they seem perfectly fine. It's just that they have tested positive.
One is very sick.
One is sick? Okay.
Yeah. And the others are asymptomatic. So okay. I'm still waiting.
Very bizarre.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting for my results back. I went and got a test on Wednesday. So I should have it back by the time this is released. So I guess you'll find out next week if I have the COVID-19 or not. But yeah, it's, and I, you know, part of me is like, I feel like, did you ever see The Dark Knight, that movie?
No.
Well, there's a scene where Batman and the Joker are fighting, and the Batman's coming at him on a motorcycle, and the Joker's just standing in the road, just like, come on, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. Come on, just do it, I want you to do it. That's what I feel like with this disease. It's like, just come on, even if I get sick, like, let's go. I'm ready to take this thing on. But then you go, yeah, well, you also might die. You might be one of those weird outliers that die. Like, there's usually people that are young do fine, but there are those weirdos that, yeah, points of deviation that don't do well. So I don't know. Hopefully I do. I kind of hope I do have it and I am asymptomatic and I can just stay inside for a few weeks and then be good for a few years. Like, if you have the antibodies, you should at least have a few years of immunity before it does mutate, and maybe we'll have a vaccine by then. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, maybe not.
I mean, I've heard it could be false positives. I know. And then when people get information that they don't like, they go, well, the tests aren't 100% accurate. It's like, okay, yeah, but it's better than nothing. But I mean, what I've heard and seen is that some people are getting reinfected. Now, could it be that the virus was dormant and like the immune system was kicking in and the virus load was so low that a test couldn't pick it up, and then the immune system dropped and it came back? Yes, I don't know. But it seems to be the case that you can get it, and then you can potentially get it again. You know, like you can get the cold again, which is a host of different viruses. And you can get the flu again, which mutates every year. And so,
right. Well, it's a corona.
So who knows?
It's a coronavirus. Yeah, the same as a cold, same as a flu. It's just a variation.
Right.
And you know, I did the math on this the other day. This seems to be just basic stuff. You know, when you look at the deaths based on the cases, it has about a point, I think it was 0.06% fatality rate, which I think the flu was about, it's many times magnitude bigger than the flu, but still not much. And I think it's not like some people are wanting us, because of their politics that they hold, to just shut everything down again. And that's going to be a bad idea. And I'm honestly to the point where I think they want to do it so they can get rid of their orange man that they hate so much, because that's the only thing keeping them in contention, is that the economy was kind of humming along and everyone's 401ks were good. Yeah. And even though some people still deny that, though, too, it's very weird, because they're, you know,
they'll say, you know, it wasn't because of him. You know, they'll be like, oh,
yeah,
it's like a natural flow. Oh,
it's Obama did it. Yeah.
Right. And it was just kind of like a bleed over, and it turned out that it. So however you want to frame it, you'll frame it. But the fact of the matter is, the economy was doing fantastic. And it was such a, like, 180 turnaround, where all of a sudden everybody was out of a job. Everybody's business was closed. It was crazy. You're a grandma killer. Now you're a hero. It really is bizarre that there's almost no consistency on people that are on either end. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I hate to say it, but with the left, it's just so obvious. Like, they're like, you're a grandma killer. Close down everything. We need to make sure that nobody gets this virus. And then a week later, thousands of people are in the streets and they're applauded for it. So it just really is bizarre, and kind of exposes how insane, and I don't want to say Democrats, I feel like that's not fair, but people who are on the far left, I just feel like what I like to call the regressive left is just so blatantly obvious. And the thing is, I do feel like we think that there are more of them than there actually are, because they're just so loud. You know, like, going back to the guy that was killed in front of the Wendy's on Atlanta, I would say that a good portion of people look at that and they go, that was a justified, I hate to say killing, but it was a justified shooting for sure. I mean, the guy punched a cop and stole his taser and pointed it at him. And people go, well, a taser is not a deadly weapon. Actually, it is. You could, if you tase somebody in the chest, you can kill them for sure. Number one. Yeah. And number two, imagine if he tases you, when your body locks up, you have no defense. So he could tase you and then stab you to death, or kick you in the head and you can't move because your body's locked up. So, I mean, for anybody to say that, you know, that wasn't a justified shooting, I'm just like, get out of here. And here's the thing is, like, they're making it seem like these cops are patrolling the streets and looking for black people to kill. Like, if you were to watch this mainstream news and that was it, that is what I would gather, is that these white cops
that's what
are
hunting they tell
for
people.
Black people on the streets.
That's what the news
wild,
tells
but
people.
But in actuality, like, someone at Wendy's called the cops because this guy fell asleep in the drive-thru line. Like, nobody could get through because he had fallen asleep. So the cops were called to the situation. This guy was cool at first. It seemed they were having very congenial conversation, you know, making some light jokes. And then all of a sudden, he just tries to rip away, resisting arrest, punches the cop in the face, steals the taser, and then points it at the cop as he's turning around. Like, and then the cops tried to resuscitate him. They don't talk about that either. It's like that they left him to die, and they tried to save him. Obviously, it was too, you know, too little, too late. I think he was shot in the chest. But right. Nevertheless, like, to think that that wasn't justified. Yeah. And to think that, like, especially, and I'm not trying to say, like, oh, boo-hoo for white cops, because, you know, that's probably the reaction that I'm going to get from some people that listen. Oh, you feel so bad. What about for everybody else? Listen, if you're a white cop and you're trying to protect people, especially in a place that's heavily, like, black, a heavy black population, like, I feel even more for those people because they're oftentimes getting called by those people. They're getting called by black. If you're a white cop in Baltimore, a lot of the time you're going to be called by black people to help them because there's another black perpetrator, right? That only makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that your option is either you're going to get, if you overreact, you're going to go to jail. And if you underreact, you're going to be dead. Like, those are your options. I would quit.
Yeah.
I would freaking quit. That is a lose, no win situation. That you're either a racist monster or you're dead in the street. That's it.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. And you know, I don't, you know, you say that they think that people are, that they're being hunted, and because they're told that they are by mm-hmm. press, and you see it all the time. You know, I yelled at you a bunch of times because you're like, yeah, I think CBS is better than the other ones. CBS News had a tweet that I saw, and it was, the headline is "Deputies Kill Half Brother of Black Man Found Hanged in Park."
Mm-hmm.
So, and then later in the story, you read that it was the man was wanted for kidnapping, spousal assault, and assault with a deadly weapon. But when they tried to stop his car, he opened the door and began shooting at them. So right. What are they like? So this is the thing. So people don't read the story. They read the headline. And this is very sure. intentional. This is not incompetence on their end. This is very thought out. And this is the difference between the bias and the agenda. And I don't, they want to burn everything down and restart anew, restart America, get rid of America and start anew with a new system. What that system right. is, I'm not even sure if they know quite yet, but they just know they were told in the cathedral, which is the pipeline from the university system, which is run by just evangelical progressivism and the pipeline mm-hmm. into the media. And this is what they're told to do. And this is what they were told to do in college. And that system has denigrated America to the point where I don't know if it can be saved at this point, but I'll let you have the final word. Yeah, go ahead. Final word. And then
real quick. I have changed my tune when it comes to CBS News. I definitely knew that they hung to the left. Like that was never a question for me. I did that. They are less sensationalized than say like CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. It seems like they just kind of, they're telling it in a more calm manner, but it doesn't mean that it's any less biased. I definitely have changed my tune, but the reason why I continue to watch CBS News is because I do love Gayle King above everything else.
Okay, fair enough.
I love her so much.
This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Thanks to Michael. He messaged me on Instagram, and he had told me that he went down to Truvy Salon and got his lady a gift certificate for an anniversary or a birthday or something from Truvy. So thank you so much for doing that. And I hope I know she's gonna love it. Chrissy knows what she's doing over there at Truvy Salon and Spa. So go check it out. Make your appointment today. T-R-U-V is in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Go get your haircut now because it might be locked down again. So go get it now. Get a gift certificate, whatever. Great gift. So thank you. Go check that out. And homemadepodcast.com. If you're interested in learning how to podcast, I don't know how, whether you want to do, maybe you like Marvel and you want to do a Marvel podcast. Great idea. Guess what? I can help you do that. Maybe you're a business that wants to do a podcast to reach new and existing clientele. Well, I can help you do that. Hardware, software, RSS feeds, any of that stuff I can do because I'm doing it right now. I'm talking to you through that method. So check it out, homemadepodcasts.com. And with that, I'm going to leave you. Thanks for tuning in this week to this homemade broadcast, Stay Woke hybrid show thingy that we're going to, I guess, continue to do indefinitely for the time being. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcasts, thank you so much. Please tell a friend about it. Retweet my stuff, home_made_man, HMB Radio on Facebook. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there, too. Radio STPETE. Have a great week, everybody. We love you. Take care. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.